Let's pray as we prepare to read the scriptures. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam asher kidshanu b'mitzvato v'tzivanu la'asok b'divrei Torah. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who sanctifies us with your commandments and commands us to engross ourselves in the words of Torah. Amen. On Rosh Hashanah, we read about the miraculous birth of Isaac. And then the Akedah. Do you know what Akedah means? The binding. The binding of Isaac when Isaac was tied up and put on the altar to be sacrificed. And we also read about the miraculous birth of a lad named Samuel. I guess before, when he was born, he wasn't a lad. He was a newborn baby. And we see how his parents, after he was weaned, brought him to the temple, and he was given to serve the priestly family there, and he was raised by the high priest and his family instead of his own parents because he was called to be a prophet. And these two stories about these important figures, Isaac and Samuel and their parents, it helps us focus on two very important aspects of the life of faith that we have in God. The two miraculous births help us focus on one aspect of faith, and that is we have to trust God in order to receive the cries of our heart, because he will provide for every need and he will fulfill every desire that he has allowed that is holy to grow up in our hearts. And we have to trust him because we cannot do it ourselves. Now, the binding of Isaac and the giving up of Samuel helps us see another aspect of faith, which is equally important, and that is we also have to trust God during those times when we must release or give back to him the very things he gave to us, which are so dear to our hearts. And I want to talk tonight about what could be called giving to God our babies. And when I'm talking about babies, they can be our children, as they were in the case of Samuel. They could be our grown-up children, as they were in the case of Isaac. But they can be more than that. They can be our ministries. They can be our gifts and our talents. They can even be our careers, our jobs, the things that we are good at, the things that we love to do, because even those things are like babies, because we've waited for them, we've nurtured them, we've poured our lives into them, we've spent ourselves on their behalf. They're like babies because they're precious to us. They're what we love. They're what we're devoted to. In fact, we may have received them miraculously from God. Is there anybody here in the room who received a child that was a miracle? Several over here, several over there, several of us. Are there any people in the room who are miracles? You were a miracle for your parents. You all just stand up, would you? Let those who are miracles stand up. And then let those who have miracle babies stand up. And let's give thanks to the Lord. We love to do this on the high holidays, to honor the Lord. Miracles. Miracles. You're miracles. You've experienced miracles. There are some people here who have jobs, and it's a miracle you've got a job. You prayed. You needed work, and you got a job that was an answer to prayer. Did anyone pray for a job and receive a job in this last year? Would you all just stand up, those of you who got a new job that way? Thank you, Lord. We rejoice in this. We honor the Lord for it. You see, it can be jobs, it can be houses, it can be spouses. It can be children, it can be ministries. They can all be like babies. And it's terribly difficult to release back to God our babies. And you know why? It's because we think it's our baby. I love him. I love her. We say to ourselves, it's not right to give this up, to let it go. I can't give this up. Or we say, well, I could give it up, but not to them, not to her, not to this. Sometimes we think, well, what about me? What will I have left if I let go of what is so precious to me? Sometimes people just yell, no, you can't have it, it's mine. Even back to God, they say this. Other people agonize when God wants them to let go because they're saying to him, you can't ask me for this. In every case, it feels unthinkable, it's unbearable, it's painful, and it troubles us to the depths of our soul. That's the normal reaction. And yet Abraham received by faith. And he offered up Isaac, how? By faith. What Abraham did is the perfect example for us in this case. He trusted God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. It was God who promised to make Abraham a father. It was God who promised to make him the father of many nations. It was God who promised that he would be the father of a covenant-keeping nation. And it was God who brought him Isaac, a son, and then made sure that it was through Isaac that the covenant was reckoned. Abraham's future was tied to Isaac. His hope, his dreams, his promise, that's how it looked. Nothing that God had promised to Abraham could be fulfilled without Isaac. And when Isaac was born, it was a verification that God, who had promised, was going to do all that he promised. It looked to Abraham like his future depended on Isaac. Isaac was important, but God was most important. And that may be why God tested Abraham, so that Abraham's hope and his faith would solidly rest on God and not on Isaac. Listen to what Genesis 22 tells us. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, Avraham, Hineni, here I am, Avraham replied. And then God said, take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah, and sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I'll tell you about. Early the next morning, isn't that fascinating? The next morning, without delay, Abraham got up, he saddled his donkey, he took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac, and when he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance, and he said to his servants, you stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. And then these key words are so important. We will worship, and then we will come back to you. When he said, we will worship, he used a word that was in one of the songs we sang earlier tonight. Ve'yishtachaveh. Venishtachaveh, which means to bend the knee. We sang that to the Lord. We bow before you. We bend our knee. There are many ways to do worship, but that kind of worship is particular because it is the worship of humility. It is when a man makes himself small. He humbles himself by not only bending the knee, but bowing down and prostrating himself before the Lord. You see, pride puffs up. Sandy and I were talking about those, you know, animal shows where you've got the orangutans and the gorillas and the different chimps, and they want to win a battle against one of their fellow simians. And they
puff themselves up. They make their chests bigger in order to show that they're strong and they're powerful. And pride does the same thing. Pride causes us to puff up so that we look larger than reality. Humility calls us to bow down, to make ourselves smaller than we really are so that we understand how we really stand in relationship to God. And it was Abraham who said, we will go and we will bend our knee before God. And then we'll come back. Now, what drove him to leave that next morning? What drove him to have a 3-day journey? What drove him to do this? What drove him to obedience? It was his trust. What drove him to have such confidence? It was his trust in God. The trust that had been built up during his lifetime. It was not blind faith, it was seeing faith. Faith that sees God working. Faith that sees and recognizes what God is doing and gives thanks to the Lord for what he's done. It's faith that sees. He trusted God. That actually is faith. Faith is not believing the right doctrines or dogmas. It's believing the right one. It's putting our trust in him. And Abraham trusted God. He trusted God's motives. That is so hard. Can you imagine God is saying, all that your future is tied to, give me back. It's mine. Job had some sense of it when he lost family and he said, I came into this world naked. I will go out of this world naked. The Lord has given, the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of Hashem. Abraham knew one thing about God. God would do good for him. And he would do good for those he loved. And this prepared Abraham to let go. His trust, his confidence, his faith in God. Faith, in fact, is the first condition for our actions. That's why the Bible says, without faith, it is impossible. What is it? It's impossible to please him. Well, what if I just... I'm a nice guy. Sorry. That won't please God. It's a good thing, but it won't please him. Without faith, if you want to be a nice guy, do it in faith. Do it because of the work of God in your life. Genesis 22 goes on, verse 6. It says, Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering. He placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father, Abraham, Father, yes, my son, Abraham replied, the fire and the wood are here. Where's the lamb for the burnt offering? You know, Abraham did not want to tell him the truth. So he told him the truth. He didn't mislead him. But he told them the truth that faith had revealed to him. And he said, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And the two of them went together. Now, when he said, God will provide, you know what he was saying? The Lord will see to it. You see, he had faith that sees because he knows a God who sees and sees to things. So what helped... What helped Abraham release Isaac was that he knew the Lord would provide. That confidence in God will make the difference in life, and it will keep us on the path. When we think that letting go means all hope is lost and the future is lost, we will stray from the path. We'll either hold on to what God is wanting us to release, or we will run away from the one who's trying to direct us. And it says, I love this in verse 8, and the two of them went on together. This is the second time it says this. When they reached the place, verse 9, that God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there, arranged the wood on it. Now things are becoming more clear. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. And Isaac, there's no record of him protesting or saying anything or demanding an explanation. And then Abraham reached out his hand. He took the knife to slay his son, but the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven and said, Avraham, Avraham. And Abraham said, Hineni, here I am. Do not lay a hand on the boy, he said. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. Abraham looked up and sat there, and there in a thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over, he took the ram, he sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called that place Adonai Yireh, the Lord will provide. And to this day it is said, on the mountain of Hashem it will be provided. And then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time, and he said, I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you've done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me. Some of the promises that God had for Abraham depended on this obedience and this trust. It was a turning point for him. Was he going to trust what he had received, or was he going to trust the one he had received it from? Was he going to trust what was dear to him, or the one who had given him his son? What Abraham experienced on the other side of this decision is so important. He had stronger faith because his faith was tested and it was strengthened. If you want to make more pure silver or gold, what do? You refine it. And you refine it again. And you refine it again. And what do you do each time you refine it again? You turn the heat up. Right? You purify it more so that the dross rises up and can be removed. When you want to make a sword or a knife blade stronger, what do? You heat it up and then you submerge it into water and it strengthens it. These things, whether it's the refiner's fire or it's the knife maker's process, these things are called testing. And you test to make strong, not to pass a test or fail a test. You test to make strong, to purify, to give you what you need that's missing that will enable you to be sharp, strong, and to accomplish what has been promised. The tragedy in life is when God wants to test our faith and make us stronger in order to fulfill the next chapter, that we refuse the test. We are living in times when he's saying, what's mine is mine. Trust me. What I give to you, I gave to you. But when I want it back, it's mine. And we have to say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Abraham experienced another thing, provision. Through faith, he saw God's provision. That's why he named the place Adonai Yireh. The Lord will provide. The Lord will see to it. That's how he remembered the place. That's how he wanted other people to remember the place. You know, he didn't say, this was hell on earth. This was the worst day of my life. This was the most unthinkable thing I've ever been through. I pray you never have to go through it. My grandmother, who's now 102, said the last 12 years have been the hardest years. And she wished she hadn't lived this long. She said to me, pray you don't live this long. I've known a number of people who have felt that way. Abraham came away saying, this place is the place where God provided. This is the place where God saw to everything. And you know what? God had the same view. He said, this is the place Abraham received. Really, his future and his promise. I told him about the promises before, but this is when he really got it. How you remember, how you want to remember, how you explain to yourself, the story you tell yourself, this is either your story of faith or it's another story. Imagine if Abraham had run in the other direction. What if he had said, no way. We're Jews. We don't sacrifice people. Can't do it. What if he had explained it theologically as impossible? What if instead of trusting God, he was so disappointed that he lost hope and he just thought, it's not what I thought, this life of faith. What if he had just given up? He would have missed an opportunity. He would have held on to something and never received what God wanted to give. Not just to him, to the whole earth. Through him, all the families of the earth would be blessed. Imagine the sorrows he would have. The third thing that Abraham received was greater ministry. That's the paradox of it all. When we hold on to what God has given us, when he wants it back, we actually lose it. The one who tries to preserve his life will lose it. And the one who loses his life for my sake, is what the Lord says, he will find it. There have been a few occasions in my life where I've had to give up my babies. Two come to mind. When we moved, Sandy and I, from Roanoke, Virginia to Rochester, New York, to pursue ministry, to be close to my mentor, we had to give up our closeness with our children, teenagers and in college, and we had to leave them, in a sense, to follow where God was calling us. It was a tearful time. It was a terrible time. And as we were driving off, we could see our son in the rearview mirror. And the Lord spoke to Sandy that they could have fellowship together because he also had to let go of his son. When Sandy and I moved from America to Budapest and then to Kiev, we had to do it again. We had to lay down our hopes of being near to our kids and our grandkids. And it was agony. And yet, God knew what he was doing. Now we have 7 grandchildren. We're back in America. We couldn't have gotten ourselves here, but he did. And our daughter, her husband, and 2 kids are living with us. Hallelujah. Now, you probably have a story or two of your own that you can tell, what you had to lay down that was dear to you. But the kind of laying down I'm talking about, Abraham's kind of laying down, is very specific. It's very important because he gave up what God had given him because he was trusting God's direction. It wasn't because circumstances required it. It was not because Isaac didn't want to be with him anymore. That's a different kind of laying down or letting go. It wasn't because he had lost Isaac already and he just had to come to terms with the loss. It wasn't because Isaac was dead and he, like Job, had to say, "Blessed be the name of the Lord." Abraham let go. And Isaac was alive, they were close, they were with each other, they worshiped together, they went together. He let him go because he knew God would provide everything. Some of us only let go after we've already lost what we're trying to hold on. Some of us only let go when it's been pried out of our hands and our fingers are broken and we can't hold on to anything and it's gone. And then sometime later we say, "Well, I release it." Some of us only let go when death has already claimed what we were trying to hold on to. Abraham let go of one who was alive, who was precious, who was vital, and was a gift that he had received. He let him go, and it cost him all of his hopes, all of his dreams, all of his promises. Abraham let him go, and that's why God used Abraham so much. At Rosh Hashanah, we welcome the new year. It's time to let go of some things. It's time to close one year, open up the next, time to turn the page. My prayer for me, my prayer for you, for all of us, is that God would bring this year to a good conclusion and then turn the page, seal the book up, open up a brand new year, fill it with blessings, vigor, power, and new fruit. I want to lay claim to that because we're sons and daughters of Abraham. If we live by the faith in our God that Yeshua has made possible through his new covenant. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that you are a covenant-keeping God. Thank you that you are forever being faithful to us. We bless you, Lord. We thank you for your faithfulness to Abraham. We thank you for the life of faith which he demonstrated to us that has resulted in Mashiach being born. Another child of faith. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us. In Yeshua's name I pray. Amen. Amen. Would you please stand for Avinu Malkeinu? Listen to these words. Avinu Malkeinu, Chanenu Va'anenu, Ki Ein Banu Ma'asim. Asei imanu tzedaka v'chesed ki hoshianu. Our Father, our King, be merciful and answer us, though we have no worthy deeds. Treat us charitably with loving kindness, for you have saved us.
Chafetz b'chaim, b'chadvenu b'sefer ha'chaim, l'mancha Elohim chaim. Remember us unto life, O King who delights in life. Inscribe us into the book of life for your sake, O God of life. Yeshua has given us confidence about this. We pray this prayer for all Israel and with all Israel. Yeshua said, don't rejoice in the fact that spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. In Revelation, it says, he who overcomes will be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels.
Zachreinu l'chaim, melech hafetz b'chaim, v'chadveinu b'sefer ha'chaim. L'mancha Elohim, l'mancha Elohim, l'mancha Elohim chaim. Zachreinu
Team to come back up here. If you're a visitor here for the first time, I want to ask you to fill out a blue visitor's card that's in the seat back in front of you. Take one of those, fill it out, and you can let us know how you'd like to hear from us. We can send you our Hebrew Word of the Week and other information about events that are happening and great things that are happening too. So you can fill that out if you have been here for a long time, but you're not getting the Hebrew Word for the Week and you'd like to get that, just fill out the card and we'll make sure that you get at it as well. So everyone, would you please rise for the closing shofar? Yeah, you had it. You had a rest. I know it wasn't long. After this, you can sit for like 60 seconds while I tell you about our Oneg.
Okay, this is going to be a little bit slower. We almost lost some of them last time. I went too fast. Barely had time to catch their breath before they were blowing again. So, Tekiah! Shevarim! Terah! Tikiya. Tikiya. Shevarim. Terah. Tikiya. Tikiya. Shevarim. Terah. Tikiya. Tikiya. Shevarim. Tikiya. Tikiya. Shevarim. Tikiya. Tikiya. Shevarim. Tikiya. Tikiya. Terah. Tikiya. Tikiya. Terah. Tikiya. Tikiya. Terah. Tikiya Gadala.
Seated for 11 seconds. I said 60. Now we'll give you a full 60 seconds. We're going to have a special Rosh Hashanah Oneg celebration with holiday challah, big round challah that reminds us of the turban and the crown of a king, and also apples and honey. It's going to be delicious. Parents, this is not a time to release your children, despite my message. Please have your children sit with you tonight at the Oneg in order to minimize the spread of honey. When we're in the land of milk and honey, they can run free. But tonight, if
The children will be with the parents. Then the parents can administer the sticky honey in a very good way. We're going to gather in there, and then if we can have, if you don't stay here and have fellowship, then you won't miss it, because as soon as we gather and we're all in the room, we will say a few blessings, and then we will enjoy the special oneg.
We have a lot of our Russian friends with us tonight. Ukrainian, Belarusian. If you would please, maybe now.
Daniel, can you want in Russian? Can you? Переведите, пожалуйста. Спасибо. We'll give instruction. So we want to invite all of our Russian-speaking family to come up here first.
Сейчас мы хотим вас пригласить сюда с нами, чтобы вы были.
So if yes, you can come up right now, right here, please. We want to give you the opportunity to go into the oneg first.
Мы хотим вам дать первую очередь, чтобы пойти в oneg.
You can stand with them. Okay. Shalom, shalom. So all of you are welcome to come up, stand with us as we have Aaron's blessing, and then we're going to take you out first. Пожалуйста. Спасибо. Спасибо. Come and stand with us. Would everyone please rise for Aaron's blessing? Yivarechach Adonai v'yishmarecha, Ye'er Adonai p'nav elecha v'chunecha, Yisa Adonai p'nav elecha v'yasem lecha shalom. The Lord bless you, the Lord keep watch over you and protect you, the Lord cause the light of his face to shine upon you, the Lord be gracious to you, the Lord lift up his face to you and give you his shalom in the name of Yeshua, the Prince of Peace. Amen. Lashana Tova. Come join us in the Oneg.